no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I want to talk today about your job. And by that, I want to talk to you about what I consider to be your real job. I got my first job when I was, well, my first job was when I was probably 12 years old delivering newspapers. And then I got a job, and I didn't really have to work. It wasn't one of those things where we had to support the family and I was cast out to sell newspapers. I was actually just wanted money for comic books and movies and things like that. And so what I did was I got myself a job delivering newspapers. Now that that didn't end well because I invited my brother into the business. We decided, well, instead of having one route each, let's get three routes and combine them. And that just did not work. Two brothers, you know, wanting to tell each other what to do and wanting to argue. And that's pretty much what we did. So I that was my first job. And then my second job was actually working at a restaurant when I was 16 years old. And my job was to fill up water glasses and glasses with Coke and stuff like that when people wanted them. That was it. Now, since then, I've had a lot of jobs. I have worked in radio as an announcer and a manager and a salesperson. I have worked in Yellow Pages. I sold Yellow Page advertising. I sold cell phones, driving around from job site to job site, selling cell phones. Most of the time I was in radio. That's what I did most of the time. But what I discovered in all of my jobs, I was also a minister, as you know, and insurance. I was in insurance sales and also in insurance management. And what was the other big one? I think that pretty well covers it. Here's what I realize now, and this is true not only for your job as in your occupation, it is also true for you as a person in your life, and that is with everybody you're around. This was not something that was ever taught to me when I was a child. In fact, it was the opposite was modeled for me. But our real job in any situation where we are around other human beings is basically to be in a good mood. Think about it. Human beings are primates, all right? So imagine a bunch of, chimpanzees getting together in a group, and they're there, and they're all just doing whatever chimpanzees do in a family. And then all of a sudden, there's one that's always just kind of upset about something or irritated about something or is trying to upset the others, show them problems and situations that don't really need to be addressed, whatever, who is constantly trying to upset the other chimps. Those chimps are not going to like that chimp as much. They're not going to want to be around that chimp as much. As I said, I had the very opposite modeled for me. In my family, we went from trauma to trauma with great alacrity. It was whomever had the biggest drama in their life was the person who got the most attention. If you weren't really having much drama in your life, you really didn't get much attention. And so what we did was we sought out drama and trauma. Now, the issue is most people don't live like that. And most people don't want to be around people like that. And they don't want people who are always looking for and sharing the challenges and issues that are going on for them. You know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't report in to the people who are your primary people in your life. You know, if you've got something going on and it's a challenge, you know. The other day I had an issue with my back. Sometimes I get a rib head that goes out and I have to go see a chiropractor. And that was limiting some things I was doing with some people. So I had to tell them that, you know. And it was kind of amazing that it was fixed in very short order by the chiropractor. But What I didn't need to do was just go on and on and on and oh, this is going to probably take a long, oh, this, I'll probably be bedridden for a month. Oh, this is terrible. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Oh, da 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 da. It is what it is. You know, now to report in makes sense. You know, it's conversation that we're having with people, and it also lets them know how to best deal with us, you know, if it's somebody that we're close with. But to always have something, that's not our job in a relationship of any kind. To be put out or unhappy if you're serving other people when you're doing it. One of the things I noticed when I was in Jamaica was that not only do Jamaicans move on Jamaica time, they move on with Jamaica attitudes. It's very difficult, I find, down there to for employers to get them to smile. That's why the people that they do find who are genuinely happy as servers are the ones that the resorts always try and hire, because these people just shine. They just brighten up the room. But a lot of people in Jamaica, they just kind of, it's not something they feel like they need to do. Whereas we understand the importance of when someone walks in to smile at them, you know. I've gotten hooked on Fawlty Towers, the John Cleese TV show, and been watching it quite a bit. And one of the things I noticed, he plays this haggard, stressed guy who everything seems to go wrong for. And then all of a sudden, somebody will walk in, someone who is staying in his resort or his little place, and he will move, griping at everybody, up walks the potential person to stay in his place, and he goes, "May I help you?" I see I missed a whole bunch of check-ins. Let me say hello. I realized there was a little bar on the side that lets me know that people are checking in for some reason, isn't showing up. So let me say hi, and I want to continue to visit this idea of your real job. Good morning, all, says Lynn Ballone. Lisa Bartel says, good morning. Dominic says, good morning, Will and Teddy and everyone else. Cynthia Barcher says, hello, Teddy, Will, and everyone. Jerome says, good morning, good morning, good morning. Patty Gay Young says, hi. Cynthia Barcher's keys to the future. Thank you. Yes. Hey, hey, good morning, Will and Teddy. Good morning, says Michael Nagy. Good to have you, Michael. Richard Chen says, hi. Nice to have you check in. Susie DeRozier, one of my top fans. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Patty Gay Young, don't let the greatness stop with you. Share with your friends. There you go. Yes, please share this. I want to thank all of those of you who shared yesterday. Daniel Byrne is here late this morning. Daniel, we're going to have to keep you after class. You're usually the first one in the door. Debbie Tankersley is here. Good morning, Debbie. Glad to have you here. Cynthia says, true, so true. Should always be the first job every day. I love it. Never thought of it that way. Miyoki says, good morning. And Debbie Tankersley says, love Fawlty Towers. I do too. So here's the thing. The Chinese have a saying, he who cannot smile should not keep shop. One of the most interesting studies that I read when I was doing my research for my first book, A Complaint-Free World, was they studied teenage girls whose relationships were based primarily on complaining, okay? Now, that should not be too difficult for you to understand. I'm just telling you, it was teenage girls. We don't need to get, they did a boy study too. But anyway, they did a study with teenage girls, and in this study, it was looking for groups that were based around complaining. So if you can imagine, you know, one teenage girl sits down at the cafeteria table and complains about something, and she's also missing out having friends. And another one says, yeah, and complains about that. And then the complaining shifts and switches and gets more and more intense and always goes in higher degrees of severity. You know, complaining always gets more severe, nevertheless. And what they discovered was that in these groups that were formed by people who liked to complain. And when they got together, the first and last words out of their mouth were what was wrong, what was missing, what was wrong. Those people would still ostracize the one who complained the most. So if it was five girls and, you know, one little girl was the biggest complainer of the complaining group, they would ostracize them. So even in a group of complainers, you've got to be in a reasonably good mood. So what I want to say before I check back in with you is a couple of things. And then, I just want to check back in with you in just a second. One is that what I have learned is by failing, by the way, I was rarely in a good mood at work, in relationships. Of course, in relationships, my job was to have something wrong so that I would get attention. It was the way I got attention as a child. I thought I had to do that as an adult. Hashtag, I don't. So that's number one, is that people do it to get attention. They are in bad moods, and I was that way at work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I now realize that in my interactions, whether it's with a waiter, someone I'm dating, my dog, anybody, my goal is first and foremost to generate the energy somehow and try to be in the best mood I can in that moment. And it is not always easy. If you've had a long, busy, frustrating, stressful day, it can be difficult. It can be difficult sometimes for me to smile at Teddy and be nice to him. Meanwhile, he's sitting there going, "Hi, remember me? I'm the most adorable dog on the planet." Well, I'm knee-deep in trying to figure out why the background's not working on the... So anyway, being in a good mood, I noticed that the happier I am with Teddy, the more obedient Teddy is with me. Can I say that again? The happier I am with Teddy, the better the mood I am in with Teddy, the more obedient he is. He's just happier as a result of having me be happier. So consider that to be your job today. And if it's a job, it's something you have to muster up and do. It's something you do. The other thing that I've realized is not only is it a choice, not only is it something, it's a job, it's something that it's our first requirement in interactions with other human beings, but also it is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. Let me say it again. It is a choice. Now, sometimes it's extremely difficult, and even in those times, it's a choice. Even in those times, it's a choice. And we don't always have to be in a good mood. We are allowed to occasionally feel frustrated and unhappy. I was talking to someone day before yesterday, and literally like everything had gone wrong. And on top of it, the dog had thrown up and I'd broken a glass accidentally. It was just one of those days. And I didn't go, "And this happened, and this happened." I just went, "So this is upsetting me, and this is bothering me, and this is bothering," which is relating facts, by the way. You're not complaining if you're stating facts. It has to do with your energy. And I stated them, I felt better, and I still stayed in a reasonably good mood. It's not like I went, "Ah." So anyway, think about this today. Consider that your job is to be in a good mood, to be first and foremost upbeat when you're dealing with people. One of the things that I do with my employees now, it used to be I've always had employees. Back when I was at the church, I had employees. But you know what? I could barely tell you their last names. If I knew their first names, I didn't know anything about their families or anything like that. And now I have five employees and I know everything about them. In fact, Agnes, my assistant John's wife, just had a baby yesterday. So we're excited about that. Let me check in with everybody else, then we're going to say goodbye. Tell Teddy good morning from me. Thanks for the timing of the message, Will. I needed this. No, you did not. Daniel Byrne, no, you did not. If anybody is this person, it's Daniel Byrne. I have worked with him. And when you talk to Daniel, it's like this light shining at you. He's always smiling. He's always happy. He's always contributing, etc. So I get, dude, that we, even Pollyanna, I'm sure, needed somebody to talk her up from time to time. But you are probably the most positive person I've ever, happiest person I've ever known. So bless you for that. You were a great model for me. Thank you. Ah, Debbie says me too. Lisa Bartel says me three. Well, I'm glad everybody felt like they needed this. It is 8:20 East Coast time. And so we've got 10 minutes for our complaint-free meditators to all go and visit the restroom, do whatever they want to do, and then join us back. If you'd like to join us, we have had five people join in the last week. So I'm excited about that. People need to meditate. First and foremost, people need to meditate. If I could do anything, I would wave a magic wand and say, everybody on the planet meditates. That would heal half, if not all, of our problems. I truly believe it. And I want to thank you again for the comments that you're giving me about how this is changing your life, about how much happier you are, and about how much better you feel from doing the complaint-free meditation. So if you haven't checked it out yet, be sure and check it out, complaintfreemeditation.com. And you get 30 days to try it out, and you get live meditation every day, plus a library of meditations. And you never have to even leave Facebook. Let me check in one more time. Daniel says, thank you. Susie says, I work for the same airline since 1987 in Quebec. I am engaged and my heart is there, especially during this time. Working from home is a new challenge, I'll bet. I can say that my colleagues are so important. I am sure that we will get through the crisis. I realize that more than ever, I am able to motivate and encourage them. Awesome. And Cynthia says, thank you, and yes, meditate. Awesome. I'll see my complaint-free meditators in the complaint-free meditation group. You can't just join the group. A lot of you have been saying, hey, I want to join the complaint-free meditation group. You have to join the program first, which is www.complaintfreemeditation.com. No quote mark at the end. All right, everybody, listen, have a great day. I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow, which will be Friday, and we will close the week on a high note. I've got something really cool I want to share with you tomorrow. Have you ever seen a frigate bird? Well, tomorrow I'm going to talk to you about how to become a human frigate bird. I think you're going to like it. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more complaining people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.